Mit dem Roman Mitternachtskinder wurde er zum Weltstar. Ein anderes Buch, die satanischen Verse, machte ihn zum Gejagten, Salman Rushdie. 1989 verhängte der damalige iranische Ayatollah Khomeini eine Fatwa über ihn, ein religiöses Todesurteil. Mehr als 10 Jahre lebte der Autor unter schwerster Bewachung. Dennoch hat Salman Rushdie es geschafft, mit zahlreichen weiteren Büchern seine Klasse als einer der besten zeitgenössischen Schriftsteller zu bekräftigen. Jetzt gibt es einen neuen Roman, Quichotte. Salman Rushdie lebt mittlerweile in New York. Zur Premiere der deutschen Ausgabe ist er nach Berlin gekommen. Wir haben ihn getroffen und anfangs besorgt gefragt, ob es denn noch größere Sicherheitsbedenken und Vorkehrungen gibt, wenn er auf Reisen geht.
There are no security issues. There haven't been really for 20 years. So that's a closed chapter.
Mit dem Iran kam es ja schon vor längerem zu einer diplomatischen Einigung, dass der Staat diese Fatwa nicht mehr offiziell unterstützt. Aber ultraorthodoxe religiöse Stiftungen haben noch vor einigen Jahren das Kopfgeld wieder erhöht. Und da denkt man natürlich sofort, die Bedrohung ist immer noch da.
Anybody can say $4 million. It's a question of whether they have $4 million. Really, we have to stop talking about this subject because it's been not an issue in my life for more than 20 years.
Dann freuen wir uns, Mr. Rushdie, das so von Ihnen zu hören, weil Sie Ihr Leben als Schriftsteller nämlich auch immer unbeirrt, auch während der Zeit der Todesdrohung und anscheinend auch unbeeindruckt fortgeführt haben. Wenn man sich die vielen Bücher, die großformatigen Romane anschaut, die Sie seither geschrieben haben, kommen wir zum Neuesten. Quichotte heißt er schlicht. Und ja, da erwecken Sie tatsächlich den großen Don zu neuem Leben in Gestalt eines älteren US-amerikanischen Handelsreisenden mit indischen Wurzeln namens Ismail Smile. Wie sind Sie auf diese Idee gekommen, Don Quixote wieder zur Literatur zu machen?
You know, I wanted to write a book which was a panoramic look at America. You know, not my previous novel, The Golden House, had been pretty much concentrated on New York City. And I remember thinking when I finished it that I really, next time I have to leave town. So I wanted to write this kind of road novel, you know, and of course the road novel, the road movie has a long history in American culture, from Jack Kerouac to Easy Rider. And as it happened, by a kind of coincidence, I was asked to write something about Cervantes for his 400th anniversary, you know. And so I looked at Don Quixote again after a very long time. And almost immediately had the idea of my two characters, who are not exactly the same as Quixote and Sancho Panza, but my Quixote and his son, who he calls Sancho, came into my head almost immediately, and I thought these would be very enjoyable people through whom to look at contemporary America. The one thing that I like in Cervantes's great book is that while he tells us that Don Quixote is mad, by the end of the novel, he feels like the sanest character in the book. The world is madder than him. And I wanted to say something of the same thing.
Vor 400 Jahren haben dem alten Don Quixote die damals allgegenwärtigen Ritterromane den Sinn für die Realität vernebelt. Ihr moderner Ritter, Mr. Rushdie, wird Opfer eines anderen Mediums, nämlich dem Fernsehen. In zahllosen Motels schaut Ismail stundenlang TV und das ist seine Wirklichkeit. Und dort entdeckt er dann auch seine Dulcinea namens Salma R., eine Art zweiter Oprah Winfrey. Haben Sie diese Heldin auch selbst im Fernsehen entdeckt?
You know, what I wanted to... A lot of the novel is about immigrants, you know, so all the main characters, including Quixote and Salma, are both of Indian origin. And really, the origin of the Salma R character was in Bombay. You know, I'm a boy from Bombay, which is a town obsessed by the movies. And I know quite a lot about Bollywood. So I've got a lot of the stories of Bollywood stars and so on. And in a way, she was born there. She was born out of Bollywood, you know. But she does something which very few people have managed to do, which is to move from the world of the Indian cinema into the West, first as a movie actress and then as a television star. So, but yeah, her origin is in Bombay, because I mean, also my origin is in Bombay as well. And her name, of course, is very close to mine. So in a way, she's kind of my representative in the book. See, what's interesting to me is that he falls in love with this image on television. Quichotte falls in love with this image on television. And on television, she's beautiful, she's glamorous, she's powerful, she's rich, she's perfect, you know. And of course, way out of his league, you know. But he loves that image. But as we get to know her in the book, we see that her real life is really quite different from that. You know, that she has had a history of sexual abuse in her as a child. You know, she suffers from depression, from a bipolar condition, and as a result, she becomes a kind of a drug addict. You know, and so her reality is very different from the television. You know,
aber dieses Bild von Salma R. begleitet nun ihren Quichotte. Es beginnt ja die mittelalterliche Queste, die Suche nach der Geliebten. Auf nach New York geht es. Seine Rosinante ist ein alter Chevrolet. Und dann heißt es an einer Stelle, was ist Stan ohne Olli? Was ist Simon ohne Garfunkel? Was ist Don Quichotte ohne Sancho Panza? Der muss auch noch kommen. Und bums, sitzt er plötzlich neben ihm im Auto. Das ist, glaube ich, wie der Zauberstab von Salman Rushdie, der hier gut gewirkt hat, nicht wahr?
Yes, Quichotte is a lonely man. As you said, he spends his life in motel rooms watching television. He's never been married. He has no children. And his need for a child is very great. And so what happens in the book, as if by magic, literally by wishing on a star, he conjures into being a teenage boy who he calls Sancho, who appears, manifests himself in the passenger seat of his car. And initially, only Quichotte can see him. You know, so initially, he appears actually in black and white, but the world is in color. You know, and he's visible only to the father who has conjured him into being. But his desire to be real is so great that gradually he becomes real, you know. And to my mind, although his father calls him Sancho, he really has more in common with Pinocchio than Sancho Panza. You know, that's also a story of a father who creates a wooden child, and the wooden child wants to be a real boy, you know. So it's really Don Quixote meets Pinocchio.
Zur Literatur kommen wir auf jeden Fall noch, die Sie in Ihren Roman einspeisen, Salman Rushdie. Aber Sancho steht erstmal für ein Leitmotiv auch in diesem Roman, nämlich anything can happen. Alles kann immer passieren. Und das wird auch zum Leitmotiv, zum geistigen Leitmotiv für das Amerika in diesem Roman. Das Land, wo Männer, die im Fernsehen Präsidenten spielen, wirklich Präsident werden, wie es an einer Stelle heißt. Ist dieses Buch, Mr. Rushdie, Ihr literarischer Kommentar zum Amerika unter Donald Trump?
Well, the words Donald Trump don't occur in the novel for a good reason, which is that America is more interesting than Donald Trump. And I wanted to write about this country going through a time of great division and great transformation. And so the point about the age of anything can happen is that I think we really do live in a time in which the surreal has become every day. And so I wanted to write a book which constantly changed its nature. You know, as they go on their journey down the road, they have many very different kinds of experiences. So there's a part of the book that is a spy novel. There's a part of the book that is a science fiction novel. There's a part of the book which is influenced by absurdist drama. You know, and then some parts of the book which are very naturalistic, you know, and emotional. And I wanted to give that sense of a world in which was in a kind of turmoil, and in which all these different kinds of reality were part of the real reality in which people live. You know, so that's what I meant, really. A metamorphic time, you know, a time in which the structures of life seem to be unstable, and transformation is everywhere.
Es ist aber auch Eine wirklich schöne und sehr humoristisch durchgeführte Idee, vor allem diesem aus dem Nichts in dieses Amerika gefallene Sancho ganz viele politische Reflexionen zu geben. Also er denkt über die Verhältnisse um ihn herum nach. Er spricht etwa mal von unserem Präsidenten, der wie ein Weihnachtsschinken aussieht und wie Chucky die Mörderpuppe spricht. Und dann sagt er, ich versuche wirklich zu verstehen, wie dieses Amerika jetzt ist, sagt er. Versuchen Sie das auch? Salman Rushdie mit dieser Geschichte für sich selbst Amerika besser zu verstehen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is a very important part of it. You know, I think that actually the last three novels that I've written have in different ways tried to approach the subject of the present moment, you know, and using in very different literary techniques. You know, so 2 years, 8 months and 28 nights uses a kind of Arabian Nights fable-like technique, and The Golden House is a more realistic book. It's a more naturalistic book. You know, it's more like a social panorama. You know, this book deliberately is much more playful. It uses almost every literary technique, but the purpose is to try and understand this strange moment in the history of the country and the history of the world, and I think. When the world becomes so strange, the novel has to decide how strange it has to become in order to reflect that world. You know, and it began to seem to me that conventional realism is insufficient to reflect the world we're living in because the world has ceased to be realistic. You know, the world has become surreal. And so it needs to be reflected, to reflect it truthfully, you need to use manners, ways of writing which are not only realistic. And so, yes, it is an attempt to say, here is a person projected into the world of America, and what does he make of it? A father and son, who are also trying to make a relationship with each other. That's the other part of the book.
Viel fantastische, magische Literatur schneit in diesem Roman. Mr. Rushdie, Sie haben Pinocchio schon erwähnt. Sancho wird begleitet von einer sprechenden italienischen Grille, die direkt aus Pinocchio herüberfliegt. Eugene Ionescos Rhinoceros taucht in New Jersey auf. Quixote selbst tritt in einen fantastischen Dialog etwa mit der Statue von Hans Christian Andersen im New Yorker Central Park. Das Surreale und das Absurde bieten die präziseste Beschreibung der Realität, sagt der Held an einer Stelle. Soweit ist es also gekommen, dass eigentlich nur noch diese Art von Literatur uns Rettung bietet?
More or less, yes. I mean, although he is not referred to anywhere in the book, the writer that I thought about a great deal was Kafka. Because first of all, the moment you raise the subject of metamorphosis, you inevitably think about Kafka. And to talk about a world in the state of metamorphosis is kind of Kafka's story made bigger. But the thing that I have always admired in Kafka is that even though what we call the Kafkaesque is kind of horrifying, the manner of Kafka is always comic. So in The Castle, for example, every chapter is a comic chapter. It's set up as comedy, but the collective effect of the book is not comic. And I thought I could try and learn from that. To write a book which is filled with comedy and surrealism, and that is its manner. But what it adds up to is something else.
Quixote und Sancho werden aber auch mit vielen ganz konkreten amerikanischen Realitäten konfrontiert. Sie treffen auf weiße Rassisten, sie geraten in einen Bar-Shootout, in eine Schießerei, und eine ganz drastisch realistische Spur ist auch ja die verbreitete Drogensucht durch Schmerzmittel, die sogenannten Opioide. Und hier kommt Quixotes Cousin ins Spiel, der das Zeug nämlich herstellt. Ja, und Selma R. ist abhängig auch von dieser Droge. Ist ja diese Droge auch für Sie eine Metapher für den Zustand Amerikas, wie Sie ihn sehen?
Well, it's a way of looking at a kind of American tragedy of isolation, of loneliness, you know, and yes, of a kind of broken society that leads to addiction, you know. But it's a lot of it is based on truth, you know. In fact, the character of Quichotte's cousin, Dr. Smile, who is the entrepreneur who is pushing these painkillers out unscrupulously towards people who don't need them. That story is based on a true story, you know, of a similar kind of person, actually of Indian American origin, who was doing exactly this, you know, and which I had researched several years ago. And actually, the gentleman in question recently went to jail, so that story came to a conclusion. But it gave me a point of entry into this question of addiction. You know, and there's something like 50,000 people a year in America now dying of overdoses of these painkillers. So it's a colossal epidemic, and it's an epidemic much more in middle America than in the big cities on the coasts, you know. So it seemed to me if my character Quichotte is going to be traveling across America, he's going to encounter this. It's one of the things that the book has to deal with, in the way that it has to deal with racism, because he's going to encounter that as well. So yes, I mean, of course it has metaphorical content, but its origin is in reality.
Auch Selma R. macht in ihrer TV-Show Amerika zum Thema. In einer ihrer Shows spricht sie nicht vom Terrorismus, sondern vom Errorismus in Amerika. Das ist natürlich ein hübsches Wortspiel. Was meint sie denn damit?
Well, I guess errorism is the advancement of ignorance over knowledge. You know, I mean, it's people not believing that they should vaccinate their children. You know, people not believing that climate change exists. People who think the world is flat. And that kind of foolishness is widespread and encouraged, of course, by the new technologies of information that we have, which are also technologies of misinformation. So it intensifies ignorance. You know? So that's what it's about. And, I mean, I think, yes, the novel has this quite open satirical intention to make a satirical portrait of America. But the other side of it that I just wanted to mention is that it's also a novel about love, you know, and of different kinds of love. You know, that's a, yes, we've talked about the obsession, the love, the romantic obsession of Quichotte with Selma, you know, and that's at the heart of it. But there's also an interest in things other than romantic love, you know, that the love of a father for a son, you know, the Quichotte and Sancho trying to make a relationship with each other, you know, the love of brothers and sisters. You know, Quichotte has a sister that he's estranged from and that he wants to heal the wounds, you know, and so against the craziness of the world, you know, if there is a redeeming quality, that redeeming quality is love, and love of different kinds, not just romantic love.
Am Ende wird er, Quichotte, seine Dulcinea treffen, aber ganz anders, als er sich das vorstellt. Das dürfen wir natürlich keinesfalls verraten, Salman Rushdie. Die ganze Geschichte wiederum, die wird erzählt von einem Schriftsteller, den sie sich ausgedacht haben und der auch eine wichtige Romanfigur eigentlich ist in diesem Buch. Er ist ein Autor, der ja eher so drittklassige, wenig erfolgreiche Spionageromane schreibt. Und irgendwann erkennt er, dass Quichotte und er selbst immer mehr verschmelzen, dass sie keine getrennten Wesen mehr seien, sondern eins. Ging es Ihnen denn beim Schreiben auch so?
I think that's true, yes. Certainly as far as the second storyline that you mentioned, the author who apparently is writing the Quichotte story, it was quite clear to me that I wanted to show how these two stories are very close to each other, how the writer's own life experience, you know, is transformed into the kind of fabulous tale that he's telling, you know, so that he has trouble with a son, he has trouble with a sister. Those things become part of Quichotte's story as well, you know. And so behind the imaginary writer, there's the real writer, which is me. What I think about myself and Quichotte is that Quichotte is a great optimist. You know, he's a character defined by his hopefulness. You know, he's hopeful that his love quest will succeed. He's optimistic about the world in which he finds himself. He approaches everybody as if they will do their best They will present their best self towards him, even when in fact they're racist. You know, that hopefulness and optimism, I think, is also mine. I'm not by nature a despairing character. You know, and sometimes my friends make fun of me for being absurdly optimistic when there is no reason for it, you know. And I wanted to give that to Quichotte, to have him be this character who approaches a world which is not particularly lovable with relentless optimism, you know. And I think we have that in common.
Wie immer in der Roman Salman Rushdie mischen sie High and Low, die populäre Kultur mit der klassischen. Viel Musik kommt auch vor. I like to watch things on TV, bei Lou Reed zum Beispiel. Und Sancho verrät an einer Stelle seine Liebe zur Musik von U2. Das ist eine kleine Hommage von Ihnen selbst, nicht wahr? Sie sind ja befreundet mit Bono, dem U2-Sänger. Er hat Sie damals in den Jahren der Bedrohung unterstützt, sogar bei Konzerten auf der Bühne geholt. Sind Sie noch in Kontakt?
Yes, I mean we're quite good friends, you know, and actually you mentioned the line of a Lou Reed song, and I mean, you know, he was a friend of mine as well. So yes, I mean, if you can't put your friends in your books, what can you do? You know, perfectly natural thing to do.
Salman Rushdie, vielen Dank für dieses Gespräch.
Thank you.